to face, 'cause my Redeemer is faithful and true.
You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us for Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie, Florida. The sermon you'll hear today was recorded during one of our Sunday morning services. If this message blesses you, we want to know. Text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. Here at Grace, we are intentional about developing the next generation of disciples and leaders. Twice a year, we celebrate Youth Sunday, where our youth lead our worship service. Today is that day. Our pastor of student ministries, Mitchell McGar, will offer a message titled, The Secret Place. He will be speaking about the importance of prayer in our lives. Join us now for this message.
Today, we will be jumping around, searching the scriptures in regards to the topic of prayer. And with that being said, I want us to open in prayer before the Lord. I know we've already prayed a lot, but that's not a bad thing, is it? So we want to welcome the Lord into this place. So maybe we can bow our heads and we can pray just one more time. Father God, we thank you for today. I thank you for each and every single person in this building, on the stream, listening on the radio. We ask that you bless this morning, that you bless what I have to say, that it's your words and not mine. May your words come out, speak to our hearts, and be with us in this place today. We praise you, for you alone are worthy. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. The secret place. That's what we're going to be talking about today. The secret place. Prayer. And we're going to start here in Matthew chapter 5. And when you, this is the Lord Jesus talking, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. I think we're familiar with this, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We just sang the song Heart Abandoned, and I'm going to pull off a portion of it, and I quote, in the secret place where I see your face, may you take me there again. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you, my Lord. We just sang these words this morning. And the question that I have for you today and for myself today, because I've said this before, whenever I'm preaching, this is what God's been showing me. This is what God's been convicting me of. And you just get to simply hear the overflow. And maybe the same spirit that lives in me lives in you, and that God will convict and prod as needed for each of us individually. So I'm talking to myself here. You get to just simply listen in on what God's been showing me this week. Is it the cry of my heart in the secret place where I see your face? May you take me there again. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you, my Lord. Because if I actually lived out those words, if we actually lived out those words, we'd be spiritual firebrands into this community, out into the world for his glory. And this starts with being refined by God Almighty, God himself. This starts in the secret place, in our closets, behind closed doors where nobody is watching, except God, of course. Nothing escapes his wisdom or purview. So we witness our Lord Jesus withdrawing over and over again in the scriptures. And what I find very interesting is that Jesus both starts and ends his public ministry in prayer. After being baptized, Jesus very quickly goes into the wilderness to pray. He ends his ministry, his public ministry at the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prays a prayer of deep agony. My Father, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. And then even on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What flows from the secret place always comes out in the public square. But sometimes what happens in public in our lives isn't really what's happening in private if we're being honest. I'm not trying to browbeat anybody here again. I'm talking about me. What's God been showing me? So that's not my intention even in the slightest to browbeat. Rather, I want each one of us, including myself, to draw closer to our Lord, for us to drop the facade of self-reliance and to fully and wholly depend on God like never before. The Bible talks about it's the simple things that confound the wise. So yeah, prayer, it's so important. Am I doing it? Are we doing it in a regular, daily rhythm sort of a way that's actually glorifying and pleasing to the Lord? Not just heaping up prayers and God says, I'm not well pleased. God forbid it. I want our prayers to be a sweet aroma unto his throne room. I pray that we would be fully dependent upon his strength, his power, his presence for every decision that we make. I have something on the screen here. Jesus, we were just reading in Matthew 5, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees who were all about grandstanding and showcasing public displays of spiritual prowess. That doesn't impress God at all. It actually grieves the heart of God when we rest on our spiritual laurels as a means of impressing God. God isn't deceived by our motives. This is really important. What's worse is we can actually become self-deceived. We think we're growing in the Lord, but we're actually stagnant. And God is checking each one of us today, I believe. God's checking me today. I don't want to be self-deceived. I want to be growing daily in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And who do we think we're fooling anyway? God knows everything about us and he still loves us the same. God knows every detail of our thoughts, actions, words, motivations, inclinations, every motivating factor that goes into every decision that we make, God knows. Every word that comes out of our mouth reveals our daily quality time with the Lord or lack thereof. Ouch. Ouch to me. This isn't meant to beat anybody up, as Pastor Sam has been stating the last few weeks. Jesus has outstretched arms in your direction and my direction today, willing to receive us, receive us. He desires to hear from us. When we pray, he is greatly pleased, especially when we pray in the secret place. As believers in Christ, we ought to be withdrawing for the sake of withstanding. We should be withdrawing for the sake of withstanding. Remember, Satan is at war because God is at work. Anybody can testify to that? I know I can. Satan is at war because God is at work. Spiritual warfare is a very real thing. And the principalities in the demonic realm are not happy when the word of God is opened and the gospel is proclaimed. But I'm gonna do it anyway. Because Satan can kick rocks barefoot, okay? I'm preaching the gospel. We're gonna hear the gospel today. Satan is at war because God is at work. Satan hates Jesus, followers of Jesus, and especially when we pray, and especially when we pray in the secret place. We go to battle. We go to war. I don't think it's a coincidence that the thing most Christians struggle with, if I had to guess, is the cultivation of a daily prayer life. It's far too easy to be entangled in worldly affairs. The phone's always ringing. At least mine always is, it feels like. Salespeople always trying to sell you something. I probably average 10 spam calls a day. Baby's crying, your kids are calling your name 20 times while you're in the middle of an all-important task. That'll be my future probably in a couple years when my daughter starts talking. But I love you anyway, Melly. Here are a few examples of Jesus withdrawing for time of prayer and solitude. I'm gonna prove it to you. Jesus withdrew in solitude. Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning. That could be a key for some of us, not all of us, but very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Mark 1:45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was rather out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Luke 5:16. Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And there's a barrage of that. I could go over and over and over. There's many accounts of Jesus withdrawing. And if we aren't careful, we can easily gloss over these occurrences in the scripture and just simply move on to the juicier parts of the Bible. The whole Bible is suitable for what? Reproof, teaching, correction. So we need to hear this today. Even though verses maybe we've glossed over, oh yeah, it's true, it's the word of God, but we don't really stay there. We're gonna stay there this morning. And Jesus didn't just withdraw for the sake of escaping people, even though at times that may be beneficial. But Jesus went to the secret place. So if God incarnate himself is withdrawing for the sake of prayer and solitude, how much more should we? We ought to withdraw for the sake of withstanding. Withstanding the headwind of this world that's pummeling us from east and west and north and south. Every direction. This will be the most practical message I've ever preached because on its face, it's a very simple subject matter that if I pulled everybody in this room, we would probably agree on the importance of prayer. Yes, pray. That's good. That's good. What God was showing me this week was though I may know the importance of prayer from a mental and experiential point of view, do I truly have a daily rhythm of praying without ceasing that is ultimately pleasing to God himself? With that being said, I have a couple questions to ask for us to chew on and think through during this sermon. How do we cultivate a secret place? What does that even look like? We're gonna get there. What are the benefits of the secret place? Because I really believe this, the depth of your alone time with God will dictate the duration of your spiritual maturity. The depth of your alone time with God will dictate the duration of your spiritual maturity. And then I love this guy, Martin Lloyd-Jones. I love this quote, always respond to every impulse to pray. I know I've been guilty of that. I should probably pray about this. And then I get busy. Then I go to lunch. And then I forget to pray for that thing. And then we have this scripture that's so well known. But I really believe that if I actually applied this to my life, if we actually truly applied this to our lives, that we would be spiritual firebrands for his glory out into the world. I love this. Some of you may have this in plaques in your houses, on coffee mugs in your house. I love this. Rejoice, how often? Always. Ouch. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in what? Circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That means this is really important. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me. Paul says to pray without ceasing. The Greek here is really important because if you're like me, this verse confused me actually in the past, thinking praying without ceasing is unattainable if you take it at its face. But the truth is, praying without ceasing, doesn't mean you are consciously praying 24/7. If that's you, I wanna meet you. That's pretty impressive. That is physically impossible. But what it does mean is this, we are to pray with great expectation, great urgency, and great perseverance. That's the real word. Do we persevere in prayer? When times get hard, do we continue to press into the secret place and pray? And that only happens if we cultivate a daily rhythm with the Lord. Prayer, otherwise known as conversation with God, should be like Paul states here, in all circumstances. We don't want to be fair weather disciples of Jesus Christ, do we? I know I don't. And the truth is, God doesn't want to just hear the bad, the big, the overwhelming. Yes, pray those things too. He wants to hear everything, but he also desires to hear it all, including the small. The small. Praising God for the good, the seemingly mundane, the fact that I can take a sip of water right now when there's over a billion people that don't have access to clean water. Thank you, Lord. When we pray earnestly and diligently, there ought to be a spirit of dependence. Quite frankly, it's a requirement if we are to truly be used of God. If we are to pray earnestly and with fervor in the secret place, there will be a spirit of dependence at the forefront of the affections of our heart and mind. Now, we can be sure that Paul did not make mention of the church at Thessalonica every minute or every second of his day. He actually had 12 other letters that he wrote to 12 other churches. So he loved all the various churches that he wrote to. But he did have a real, special, wonderful, dedicated, consecrated love for the church at Thessalonica. He mentioned them quite frequently. He had an affinity, a closeness with the church. He mentioned them unwaveringly. And maybe that's the equivalent of how we should be praying, with great perseverance. And if we hope to pray without ceasing day and night in the way Paul calls us to, enjoying that kind of continual communion with our God, we are going to need to develop disciplined times of prayer as well. We're going to need an intentional paradigm shift, if you will, in our thinking, in our actions, in regard to our prayer life. We have to be intentional. Not, oh, it'll happen sometime. No, we have to diligently, intentionally say, look, we're going to pray consistently on our face before God in the secret place. In the secret place. And then guess what? That eventually gets revealed and comes out in the public square, because praying in the public square is very important. I'm not minimizing that at all. But are we praying in the secret place? Having a designated time to pray throughout the day is not legalism. In my estimation, it's the litmus test that will decide if we end up with a consistent, effective, praying without ceasing sort of life. And it's going to look different for each one of us. Some of us, yeah, get up at 5 a.m. Some of you, maybe you're retired, you have more flexibility in your schedule. You could pray at 10 or 11 a.m. while everybody else is working. Whatever is your season of life, your lot in life that God has entrusted to you, pray without ceasing. We must endeavor to pray on a regular basis. So I'm going to submit this to you. Let's make a growing list or a running journal of what to pray over. I'll be honest with you. I used to do that pretty consistently. I've grown a little slack in that. God's been convicting me in that area. Start to journal more. Get back to journaling. Get back to remembering. Date it. Date it. Here's what God did. Here's what God did in providing my miracle baby right here. Here's what God did in bringing me to Grace Emmanuel Church. Here's what God did when my wife and I met. Here's what God did when I got to meet amazing friends that are family. Because you don't have to be blood to be family in the kingdom of God. Amen? Brothers and sisters in Christ. So I know some people even have post-it notes in various rooms of their house. And as they enter that portion of the house, they pray over those specific requests. That's not necessarily how we all must do it, but it is an effective system that I've seen and know to work. Also, our minds are all prone to wander. Anybody else? Minds prone to wander. Even now, what's for lunch? I don't know. In the back of my mind somewhere, I'm probably thinking about lunch too. But anyway, in this fast-paced digital age, and we must have disciplined patterns and systems in place to combat the fast and furious pace of this world. I want to read that again. Our minds are all prone to wander in this fast-paced digital age, and we must have disciplined patterns and systems in place to combat the fast and furious pace of this world. You see, a devoted Christian life requires us to withdraw to the desolate places, to get away. You see the crowds? There's time to interact with the crowds. I'm interacting with the crowd right now, preaching the gospel. We're all here in the kingdom of God, in the house of God. But there's also a time to slip away and get alone with him, where only God knows that sweet communion time that you've had with him. Because I really believe this. There are certain prayers that God will only answer in the secret place. Does God answer prayers in the public square? Of course he does. But there are certain things God wants to know. Deep down, in your heart, praying. I wasn't planning on sharing it, but I'm gonna share it now. Some of you, who's heard the name George Mueller in here? Old dead guy, love George Mueller. Actually, in reality, he's more alive than any of us in this room right now. And he was an amazing man of God. And he would pray, but told nobody about this orphanage. People knew about the orphanage, but we need milk. We're desperate for it. We're desperate. I need to feed these kids. And milk trucks would just break down, happenstance, right in front of his house, and would have milk for days for these kids. The secret place where I see your face. May you take me there again.
We pause briefly to welcome those just joining us. You're listening to Grace Alive, a broadcast ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church in Port St. Lucie, Florida. You're listening to a message titled, The Secret Place. So often we view prayer as a way for us to tell God what we need. We see what is lacking and ask God for it. God does tell us to come to him and ask for what we need. But the point of this is not the need, but the one who meets it. God longs for us to know him in our prayer, to trust him. If God is reaching out to you today, please let us know. Text us at 772-205-6552 and we will reach out to you with a text or phone call. You can also send us a message through our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send comments, questions, or prayer requests. Now let's return and listen to the rest of the message from our Pastor of Student Ministries, Mitchell McGar.
And I really believe this today. Many of us, maybe we've kind of been tempted to give up on prayer. Many of us are maybe hopeless because we've hoped in less. We've hoped in less than what God has called us to. We were made for more. We were created to worship. We were created by God for God. For some of us, including me, we must return back to our first love. Like never before, return back to him, to his unfiltered presence, his unparalleled power, availing ourselves to him, watching him do what only he can do. Maybe some of you, it's a little spark right now. It can become a flame, a forest fire for his glory. Maybe the spark has been lost. It could be reignited. God's in the business of doing that, of doing the supernatural. Maybe our affection for Christ and his church has waned in exchange for lesser pleasures. Those lesser pleasures can even be good things like friendship, comfort, financial resources, food, drink, etc. Nothing inherently or intrinsically wrong with those things. They're gifts, but here's the question we must ask ourselves. The question we must ask is this: do we relish and revel in the gift more than the gift giver? This is what God's been showing me. Are we working with God or just for God? Yes, work for God. Work heartily unto the Lord. That is a scripture, yes. But make sure you're not just working for him, you're working with him in conjunction with his power, tapping yourself into his eternal, unlimited resources. Are we shortchanging our spiritual growth, attempting to steal glory for ourselves when the glory is his alone? Am I so focused on working in ministry that I don't stop to let God minister to me? God and I have had some heart to heart this week. These are questions God has been convicting me with. It's cut deeply in the most beautiful and holy way, drawing me closer to my Savior. That's my desire for each one of us, that each one of us would draw closer to our Lord in prayer, devotion, and song. And you know, singing is a form of prayer. And nothing draws me specifically closer to the Lord than singing to him, maybe that's some of you, in private. Key word, in private. I would never ruin your eardrums by singing up on this platform. I reserve that for the secret place. And all God's people say,
amen.
Amen. So I was in my car earlier and I was singing my heart out and none of you could hear. It was awesome. So the key to rejoicing always is to pray continually, meaning to depend on God all the time and call to him repeatedly, to run to his throne room, barrage him with requests and petitions. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. We must make the default state of our prayer life intentionally God-honoring by not just giving him the scraps of energy we have left over at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. And some of us are asleep before 9:30 or 10 o'clock, okay? So whenever that is for you, when you have the first fruits of your time, give him the first fruits of your time, your energy, your devotion. You see, Dallas and I know it wasn't a coincidence that we found out we were getting our miracle baby, Melody Frances McGar, right there in the front row. That's the cute kid right there. Yeah. In the month of January, when we as a church fell on our knees and engaged in prayer and fasting for 21 days, we as a church were 7 days into our fast when we got the best phone call of our lives to adopt Miss Melody Frances McGar. There were 14 days left of fasting as a church, and one could easily say with all the paperwork and busyness that adoption process gave us, we could pause our fast. But no, we knew that just because God answered our prayers doesn't mean we should stop. We wanted to remain faithful alongside our church family. God, I want us to be careful. I'm not attempting to present God as a great genie in the bottle. He's not a divine bellhop in the sky. God doesn't owe any of us anything, but our Heavenly Father is a good Father who tends to give good gifts to his children when they ask, in our case, a child. This world is shouting with a megaphone, and this is why we must be still so that we would know that he is God. We need to go low in humility and into our quiet place, into our secret place. We must remember what we saw earlier in the scriptures. Jesus withdrew. And if God incarnate God alone, how much more do we sinful, frail human beings need to get alone? Charles Spurgeon, old dead guy, once said this: prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals, we're troubled mortals, y'all, the peace of God. We know not what prayer can do. Basically, the prince of all preachers, his nickname, Charles Spurgeon, is saying this: prayer plays a huge role in our Christian lives, and praying in the quiet, secret place is a gift we get to readily enjoy, not just another chore. We get to bask in the glory of God. We get to boast in the cross and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're on the precipice of celebrating that come Resurrection Sunday in a few weeks, but we ought to celebrate it every day, every moment of every day. And one of the things we often overlook in worship is the consistent practice of prayer, to pray without ceasing. If we knew what was happening when we prayed, we'd never stop praying. God is at work, but the principalities are real. Ephesians 6 makes that clear. To tempt us to give up, throw in the towel, not pray. I've been guilty of that before, if I'm being honest. But then I realize it's an attack from the enemy. And then I turn my head and my eyes and my face back heavenward. Where else would I go to, Lord? Where else would I find hope except for the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth? And he's an ever-present help in time of need. Anybody can testify that today, that our God is an ever-present help in time of need? Amen. Imagine if all, I'm ballparking it. Imagine if all 300 of us were continually, daily, desperately, passionately praying without ceasing in the secret place. The gates of hell would be ripped right off its hinges. Hell's doors are shaking even now as we are talking about this in a public setting, to return back to private prayer, to return back to going to the secret place, old school, close the closet door, if you will. No one's around, just you and God, and calling out to him. That's how a lot of us got saved. That's how I got saved. I didn't even know that was in the Bible. I just got saved. I'm hearing this testimony of a professional wrestler about Jesus. I turn it off and I go into my closet and I pray and weep for 30 minutes. And then, oh, it was in the Bible the entire time. That's really interesting. God's at work. Go back to the secret place where we see his face. Lord, may you take us there again. Demons flee when Jesus' followers are locking arms to pray together and do life together. But it all starts with our solitude of prayer moments when nobody is watching except God, of course. You see, God is delighted when we engage with him in the secret place. When we pray in the secret place, it is a sweet aroma unto his throne room. I love that picture. I love vivid imagery. I'm just picturing as we're praying. We prayed earlier. Maybe we all prayed this morning before we came to church today. And if you didn't, God still loves you. That's okay. But I'm just envisioning as we pray alone in our solitude moments, God is well pleased. God, give us a heart abandoned ever after you alone. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you, my Lord. And when I think of prayer, I don't know about you. I think about the Lord Jesus praying. The high priestly prayer in 9 to 13. Jesus says, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours and yours are mine and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. This is the longest prayer of Jesus recorded in scripture. And what you'll quickly notice in this prayer is he does not waste any words. Nothing wasteful, nothing flashy or pretentious about this prayer. And what's glaringly apparent to me in this high priestly prayer is that our Lord Jesus Christ is showing utter dependence upon his heavenly Father. He points us to the source of our strength. Our Lord Jesus is giving the body of Christ the blueprint for our spiritual success. Jesus also prays for our protection against evil. To be on guard, the evil one is prowling around looking to devour like a lion. And he's calling us to pray without ceasing. I'll give you another ouch moment for me this week. What if the moment somebody cut you deeply with a harsh word, we would pray for them rather than return evil for evil? This is convicting to me because in my flesh, I want to go toe-to-toe with somebody combating me. I don't know about you guys. It's the Holy Spirit residing in me that restrains me, that compels me to live a spiritually victorious life, all to the glory of God. And Jesus very clearly asked me this question this week. This past week, seriously, was some of the sweetest communion time I had with God. And guess what? It wasn't all rainbows and cookies and cream ice cream. There was conviction from the Holy Spirit. God showed me my weaknesses and my flaws. And I'm not gonna dwell on that today because when we're weak, he's made strong. I'm not gonna glorify my weakness, but what I am here to say is, though we are weak, he is made strong and he uses vessels like you and I for his glory and his honor. Jesus is really good at choosing the oddballs among us, amen? Yeah, and I'm the COO, by the way, Chief Oddball Officer, that's me. All right? So he asked me this question this week in my quiet time. Do you cling to me or to the approval and applause of man? Do I find my identity and purpose in Christ or in the approval of man? God's word makes clear that we will either please God or please man. You can't do both. And you know the old saying, when you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing Took me 35 years to figure that out. Where do our heart's affections and inclinations lie? So here's a general principle that I follow. Again, very practical. It doesn't work out every day because some mornings here, we have meetings, some evenings, prayer meeting on Tuesday, youth on Wednesday. But a general principle that I like to follow is this. This is helpful for me. I want to give my mornings to God, afternoons to people, and evenings to my family. Because when God is first and foremost in my affections from the onset of the day, I find myself consumed with the goodness and presence of God, and it greatly impacts and affects those I interact with and determines if I will be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ on that given day or not. It all hinges on our daily prayer life, going to the secret place and seeking his face like never before. And in the secret place, that's where we daily take up our cross. That's where we go to war. That's where we deny ourselves and truly make Christ our all and all. And this all emanates from a regular, disciplined, consistent prayer life. Let me ask this question. Have you ever felt grumpy and tired and everything seems to set you off on a given day? Anybody ever have those days? I mean, you know, never me, but good to know that you guys, Of course me. You ask yourself, what is going on? Only to realize that you haven't eaten today or had any water. That may or may not have happened to me this week. Just as the body gives physical signs when we don't nurture it, the same is true with spiritual matters. I might argue even more so. When we don't nurture our spirit through prayer and communion with God, we will see the negative effects. That's why we are to ask for our what? Daily bread. It's not a once a week bread and every now and then bread. It is a daily bread to seek him. Just like we need food and drink on a daily basis, it is a wonderful gift from God. We need God's presence and power a billion, a trillion times more than that. It's a picture. As we're eating, as we're drinking, God, thank you for this gift. This steak is delicious, but this actually points me more to how much more I need you. You're the bread of life. There's a double meaning here. We are to ask God for our daily bread, showing dependence on God to provide our physical needs, but all the while not forgetting that Jesus is in fact the bread of life, henceforth providing all our spiritual needs. Another thing God showed me this week, prayer is a privilege. It's powerful and purifying to those of us who wield it consistently. Prayer is an offensive weapon that dispatches angel armies even now, and that makes the gates of hell shudder. That's why he says, when two or three are gathered in my name, let's pray. The gates of hell shudder. Remember, Jesus said he will build his church. And he said the gates of hell will not, shall not prevail against it. Why? Because his children are attached to the Savior. And we can call upon his name. And when that happens, we're calling forth the unstoppable one, the uncompromised one, the unrivaled one, the one who sits on a throne even now. And he's the only one worthy of worship and adoration. And when we hitch ourselves to that trailer, so to speak, then we see God as we ought to, first and foremost, the center of it all, and our lives start to make sense. Because our lives were never meant to be about us. It's all about him. Returning back to our first love, and that happens in the secret place. May our identity be firmly rooted, planted, and established in Christ alone. He is the vine, we are the branches, not the other way around. He alone ought to be our firm foundation. God's word is how he predominantly speaks to us. We hear him speaking to us through the Bible. And then his Holy Spirit makes it personal, illuminating and bringing spiritual life to those words in our hearts. It all starts with the spark of returning to our first love in the secret place, and it's reignited. And we see him crystal clear, brand new. His mercies are new every single morning, and we can tap into him like never before. So let's take a moment to ask ourselves this question. Do we actually delight in finding that quiet, private space to focus on our Lord? Do we desire knowing God more than anything else? And if right now that desire isn't exactly bubbling or welling up inside of you, please do not feel alone. As I mentioned before, this world and the enemy are constantly fighting to extinguish our spark for the Lord. With that said, now is a great time to ask God to reignite that flame. Not only do those who have been redeemed love to spend quality time with their Redeemer, but he also loves the chance to connect with us, not just in the crowd, but in the secret place as well. So if we're hiding in the shadow of the Almighty, nothing can come between us and the love of God. May he be the refuge we run to. He is our strong tower. He is our fortress. May we run to him before we run to anybody or anything else. May our secret place be the constant fanning of the flame in our hearts, increasing our worship and love for our God. Now, I cannot stress this any more emphatically. The days of evil are increasingly so. So we must find our total daily dependence and rest in Christ alone. It's when we surrender to him. We can't do it, Lord. I can't do it in my own strength. I need you today. I need you at work today. I need you on my behalf today. I surrender afresh to you. We must stand at attention at the directives overflowing out of the heart and mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul says to hold all things captive to the obedience of Christ. And that starts by regularly, prayerfully, intentionally retreating to the secret place. This Sunday, March 30th, 2025, us 300 some odd disciples get to listen in, not including those listening via the YouTube stream or radio, which will reach many more, Lord willing. Let us pray for spiritual ears to hear and spiritual eyes to see the glories and wonders of this breathtaking reality that we get to communicate with our Lord, the maker and sustainer of heaven and earth. Our prayer life should resemble a multifaceted diamond, precious and beautiful and consistent from every angle. Remember, there was a looming cross ahead. And what did Christ do? He did not cower. He did not blame shift. He did not complain. Rather, he prayed. The Son of God prayed. If we truly desire to experience his unrivaled presence of God in its fullness, we must be acquainted with knowing him in the secret place, in the quiet yet significant rhythms of life. Because you see, prayer is the main artery, the engine on which the church runs. It ought to not just be an afterthought or a casual prayer we offer up only before our meals or before we put our heads to rest in the evening. Yes, do those things. They're biblical. Those are good things. But we must not forget, to pray without ceasing is to have a posture of looking heavenward, with big and small requests alike, calling upon his name. And that's what separates those growing deeper in love with God and those prone to wander at any moment. It all boils down to that sweet communion time with our God and how prevalent our walk with him is. So I have an oldie but a goodie for you, okay? Quote wise, Corrie ten Boom, wonderful. Is prayer your steering wheel or is prayer your spare tire? Isn't that convicting? Because you see, one aspect of a Christ-enamored and satisfied heart is a growing, intense, desperate ache. I'm using the word intentionally, desperate ache. Lord, I'm desperate for you. I can do nothing apart from you. And a desire to get with him alone. So the question is this, as we land the plane, do we long to withdraw from the busyness of our lives to get with him? Even the busiest among us have a minute here, a minute there, 5 minutes between meetings. We can utilize that time to pray for wise counsel to surround us, redeem the commute in your car. Pray for wisdom and discernment from above. The Bible says you lack wisdom and discernment, ask him. And he will gleefully, cheerfully, joyfully give it to you. I know we're all in different seasons of life. Some of us need to get up at 5 a.m. before the kids start waking up and slurping cereal like maniacs. Some here are retired. You have more flexibility in your schedule. You can go to the secret place anytime during the day. That's wonderful. But as a collective church, I implore each one of us to return to the secret place where we see his face like never before. My prayer is we would get alone with our Heavenly Father in our daily moment-by-moment rhythms of life, redeeming the time wherever we go. May we have sacred time with God that only he and you know about. And if we don't spend quality time with God on a regular basis, my fear is that much of what will inevitably come out of our mouths will end up being unedifying talk. So, Jesus is the fount of endless grace. Jesus is the fount of endless grace, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We should be standing in awe, even at the mention of his matchless name. He is infinite in glory, tender in grace. He is mighty in power, gentle in disposition. He is calling us to rest in him alone. We must be transfixed on knowing Christ deeper, loving him more intimately, finding rest in the only rest giver, Jesus Christ himself. And here's the beautiful reality. The secret place is where we meet God in power, where we attain unprecedented access to his presence, and where we see God at work in supernatural ways. Let's pray to that end together now. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Thank you for this beautiful reality that we can retreat to the secret place where we see your face. May you take us there again to be in sweet communion with you, to come before you with the deepest desire and passion in our hearts, to know you more than anybody else or anything else. That maybe some of us in this room today, we need you. We need to go back to the secret place. Maybe the spark needs to be reignited and to become a forest fire. But the truth is, Lord, we can call your name right now and be delivered. We can be rescued from the pit. You can rescue us, and you desire to rescue us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. So it's just you and Jesus in the room right now. Speak to him. Lord of all, Savior of all, Rock of ages, we want to be with you forever. For your glory, while we are here on the earth, we don't want to miss it. And it all starts in the secret place. Returning to you, our first love. Because when we do that, our lives will never, ever be the same. So the secret place where we see your face, may you take me there again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the message today. God's purpose for prayer is that our hearts would lean into him. It is that we would know him. It is that we would desire him above all else as he loves, leads, and provides for us. We invite you to join us for some discussion about the message. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries.
Pastor Mitchell quoted Charles Spurgeon, a man who had more than his share of difficult things in life. Prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. And I just couldn't help but think, as I listened to this sermon and then watch it again today, Pastor Mitchell has been in this church 9 years today. As we're recording this, this is his 9th year. I have sat with him all 9 of those years and talked about what was deep in his heart. Most of those 9 years, for at least 7.5 and 8 of those years, one of his great, great, great desires was to have a child. And we prayed and we trusted, and it sometimes just seemed so bleak. And I can remember him coming in at times when it just seemed like maybe the light at the end of the tunnel had arrived, and then bam, the light would disappear. And some of you listening are there. I mean, you know exactly what that's like. Maybe for you it's not a baby. Maybe it's something else. But then going into this fast time at the beginning of this year, 2025, and we watched a lady healed miraculously of cancer. I mean, she was dying. She was not supposed to be alive more than a few more weeks, and we watched her be completely healed. I watched her here this last Sunday, and she looks as healthy as she could possibly look. But then I was there when Mitchell found out about this little child, and I heard about it, in fact, before him, and I'm just wondering, God, are you really going to do something this massive? And then watching it unfold was just beyond comprehension. But I'm just saying that to you to say, I don't know what it is you're praying for. Probably some very, very impossible things. And I mean literally impossible. You've prayed. Maybe you prayed 8 years like Pastor Mitchell and his wife Dallas did, and nothing has happened. Don't stop. Don't stop. Trust God. He is your source. That's where the answers are going to come from. And I have some in my own life where I'm just trusting God and believing him. And sometimes it's very, very dark because it just doesn't look like there's any possible pathway. Don't stop praying. Don't stop. Believe God. You will have your miracle answer. Somewhere along the way, God will answer your prayer.
I love what Pastor Sam said there, because prayer is supposed to be about the God who's hearing them. We view prayer in so many different ways. Some people are very ceremonial about their prayers. Others are very celebratory. Some never pray in public but have powerful private prayer lives. Others only pray in public. Pastor Mitchell mentioned the Lord's Prayer. In the Gospel of Luke, the disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They called him Lord, and they said, "Teach us to pray." And so Jesus answers them by giving them the Lord's Prayer. And we've all recited it. But did you ever think that Jesus was very specific in choosing the words and phrases that he used in that to teach them something more than something to recite at the end of a service? See, Jesus was not just offering a prayer to say. He was offering a picture of a praying heart that was focused on the subject of the prayer, not the objects. We are supposed to be in awe of the God that we call Father. You see, this is the God of floods and miracles and fire and parted seas, and he allows us to call him Father. Like his name, he is to be honored, feared, and revered in awe. This God who calls us into this loving relationship is also the same God who destroyed cities and caused prophets to fall on their knees in terror. Our prayer is supposed to be about seeking God's will for this world, not our will for his. Our focus is to be his kingdom, not ours, and that's supposed to be a no matter what proposition. Jesus told them, "Give us this day our daily bread." When they heard those words, their minds would have gone to the wilderness where God fed them manna every day. Here's the interesting thing about that. It was God who decided how much manna they needed each day. God decided their needs, not them. We are to trust him the same way for our daily needs, letting him decide what they are. The phrase about forgiving sins is not supposed to be focused on how we forgive. It's supposed to be focused on how God forgave us. When we extend forgiveness of debts and sins, we're supposed to do it the same way God does. Asking God to lead us not into temptation assumes that we've surrendered to him and we're going the way he wants us to go. Delivering us from evil assumes that God is able to do so. You see, prayer is about seeking the Savior. Prayer is about becoming his and being like him. Prayer is about him, period.
So this is really important, and it's really encapsulated here in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I was just thinking about this. Prayer should not be a last resort for us, but if we're honest, a lot of times it is. But rather, it ought to be our first priority. And I don't know about you, but this has been convicting to me. It talks about to not worry about anything, to pray about everything as we bring our petitions to the throne room of God. Well, if you're like me, there's a temptation to throw in the towel for praying, isn't there? When you pray something over countless years and you don't see any answers and you wonder, "I trust you, God. I see you at work in every other facet of my life." But Pastor Sam referenced it. My wife and I had wanted a child, desired a child, had prayed for a child passionately, fervently for 8 years. And it felt like to no avail. It felt like the prayer would be bouncing off the ceiling from time to time. We would maybe get a little bit of hope here, or maybe there was a sign that we saw and people talking about something, and okay, we're going to have our miracle baby anytime now. And then it wouldn't happen. And I'd wonder, "God, why? Why me? Why are you not hearing me when I pray? Your word says you are an ever-present help in time of need."
And guess what? 8 years later, in a way that I would have never done it, that I could have ever imagined, Ephesians chapter 3, more than I could ever think, dream up, or even imagine, God supernaturally provided my daughter to my wife and I. So friends, I've been there. I'm speaking directly to you. If you are tempted, if you are in a season right now to give up and praying, I want you to know that I hear you, but don't listen to the lies of the enemy. Press in. Watch God do what only He can do. He is faithful to answer our prayers. And with that being said, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to draw near to You. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. Draw us near to You. Take us back to the secret place where we see Your face. May You take us there again. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening today. The relationship of God is only possible when we are right with Him. That comes from a surrender to Jesus and repentance from sin. If we can help you in this, please text us at 772-205-6552, and we will reply with a text or phone call. You can also go online to graceemmanuel.com and click on the Contact Us tab. Victory as a Christian is only possible when we're connected to other believers. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 10:40 a.m. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in Northport, St. Lucie, just west of U.S. 1. For more information, please visit our website. Our pastor has written several books designed to help you grow in your faith. The titles include Unmasking Revelation, Heaven, Spiritual Warfare, Jonah, and Peter. Please go to samchess.com, where you will find a brief overview of each book and a link to Amazon for purchase. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. We pray that you would draw near to God this week, that you would seek Him above all else, that your needs would be the motivation to seek the One who meets them. Please come visit with us soon.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church. You've been listening to the Grace Alive radio broadcast. You can listen to our program Fridays and Saturdays at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO. Please join us and let us study together.
This is Jane Rule from Grace Emmanuel Church. I'm excited to tell you about our Awana program taking place every Wednesday from 6:35 to 8:15 p.m. Awana is a Bible-based discipleship program with a fun mix of games and scripture memorization, providing an enjoyable environment for children while they learn the Word of God. Our program is for children preschool through fifth grade. If you would like more information about Awana, please call our office at 772-489-9696.
I'm Mindy Molina, Investment Advisor Rep, Licensed Insurance Agent, and Fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome to Taken Studios, the podcast studio designed with you in mind. Whether you're preaching, teaching, or sharing your heart, we provide a professional space where your voice can be heard. With our state-of-the-art equipment, expert sound engineers, and welcoming environment, you can reach Barry at 727-422-4374.